You are invited. It's the name of today's sermon, and it's the first message of eight messages out of Matthew 11, 28 to 30. We're going to spend 8 weeks looking at this scripture, and you are going to be blessed. We need this. I need this. This scripture that Jesus gives us in Matthew 11, 28 to 30 is so relevant. It's so applicable. I believe that the Church of Jesus Christ is more relevant today for the needs of our communities and the needs of our nation than ever. At a time when the message of Christ and the Church of Jesus Christ is being sidelined, it is the most needed. There is rest for your soul. There is medicine for your well-being found in the Word of God and the message of Jesus Christ. And we are a culture that is anxious. We are a culture that lives in despair of the future. And that is manifested in our inability to communicate with one another at every level of relationship. But there is rest to be found in Jesus. And when our soul is at rest, and when God's peace is guarding our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, then there's the ability to sit across the table and listen and hear from another person without becoming defensive and anxious and militant, because there's rest for our soul and there's security to be found in our identity, because our identity is in Christ. And when you find your identity in Christ and not many of the trappings of the world, then you can rest and be in relationship with another person, because that other person no longer threatens your identity or your well-being, because your identity and your well-being is grounded and founded in Jesus. And that is rest. Rest is the wholeness of your being found in the other. And when we reject God as the other, then we must find the other in other people or things or activities or professions or in beauty that fades. But when the other is unchangeable, unchanging, unshifting, then there's rest. Because even when someone doesn't agree, even when things aren't going the way we want, even when the bills don't seem to get paid, even when we're going through all that we're all going through, there's still rest. And there's nothing our culture, our church, our community, your pastor, we need more than the rest that Christ offers us. Because that's what allows everything else to work. Having concerns and worries at work, find rest for your soul in Jesus. You're invited. So you might be asking, invited to do what? Here's the invitation for 2019. You're invited to make 2019 a great year. And this is not a church program. This is a crossroads moment. This is not something you opt in or out of by deciding whether you come on a Sunday morning or participate in a group or serve others or choose whether to be a civil human being that day. This is a crossroads. This is a moment of choice each of us must make today. You're invited to make 2019 a great year. And here is the most important question you can ask yourself. You might want to write this down. Am I growing closer to Jesus Christ today more than I was a year ago? And when you look back at the end of 2019, I hope for you that the answer is yes. Yes, I am growing closer to Jesus Christ more today than I was a year ago. And here's the areas I see that. I have more peace. I'm at rest. Are my circumstances better? No. Do I have more money in my bank account? No. Am I more handsome or more beautiful a year from now than I was? Probably not. But am I resting in the Lord and finding peace? Am I closer to Jesus? Are my kids more well-behaved a year from now than they are today? I'm not going to touch that one. And here's a question that I want us to ask. And this is why we gather, and this is why we serve our community, and this is why we gather in groups. It's why we call each other when we know someone's not here that normally is. This is why we go to the hospital or send a card. Because here's the question I want us to ask ourselves. Are we loving one another more like Jesus' family today than we were a year ago? That is the criteria for the church. And truly, at the end of the day, the only one that matters. Are we loving one another more today, like Jesus' family, than we were a year ago? And here's the sneaky little thing. The first question determines everything else about your life. Things like the second question, how well the church is loving one another, is 100% dependent upon, are you personally growing closer to Jesus today than you were a year ago? Because if the answer to the second question is anything else than the first question, then it's a program that you can opt in and out of. But if it's the crossroads moment of your life, if it's the most important question you ask yourself that determines the trajectory of your day, is today going to be a day where I choose to grow closer to Jesus? And I'm going to manifest the behaviors and the attitudes and the actions of someone who's closer to Jesus today than I was a year ago. That is not a program you checked in and out of. It's the crossroads moment of your life. It's the choice between choosing to worship God that day and choosing to worship something other than God, most likely yourself, your career, your bank account, your sense of security and well-being, being in something other than Jesus Christ. This series of messages will fundamentally shake and alter your view of Christianity, of what he offers you, and I believe will be the best medicine that you need. I'm not saying you don't need other forms of medicine for whatever issue you may be going through, but I'm saying when you have your soul in alignment with and resting in Christ, everything else starts to have a different point of view and perspective. Friends, you're invited. How will you respond? And how will we respond? And I believe the way you respond to this invitation is dependent upon who you think is inviting you. Do you think I'm inviting you? Do you think the church is inviting you? Then it's probably just a program, and you should opt out right now. But if you believe Jesus Christ is inviting you, if you believe the Holy Spirit is inviting you, if you believe God the Father has chosen you and is inviting you, then you should give everything you have and be all in. You're invited. I'm invited. And I'm not the one doing the inviting. Let's look at our text. Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Sound good? What an invitation. But it doesn't end there. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Sound good? But he's not done yet. There's more. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Lord, we want that. I want that. And honestly, right now, Lord, that's all I want. It's my ambition. It's my desire. It's my goal. And everything else, Lord, will come through this. As Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. Lord, teach us to come to you. Amen. Did you know that that phrase, come to me, is used 50 times in the Bible? 50. 30 times in the Old Testament, 20 times in the New Testament, but only 19 of them has God as the object of the phrase, the me, come to me, with God speaking. We have 5 in the Old Testament. If you're interested in learning about those 5 in the Old Testament, come tomorrow at noon, and we'll be doing a Bible study on those. What we'll be focusing on this morning is the 14 in the New Testament. 14 times, Jesus says, 14 times in the New Testament, we see this phrase, come to me. Let's look at the times that Jesus says this, because come to me is an invitation. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you work, stress, performance anxiety, a checklist of things to do to prove that you're right with me, obligations and commitments that demand more from you and less from your checkbook. No, what does Jesus invite us to? Rest. Jesus says, come to me in Mark chapter 10. So write these down. You have pens in front of you. You have a bulletin. You might have a notebook. If you don't have a notebook, we still have notebooks we can give out, little journals that we gave out. And if you need those, let us know at the office. We have some. We'd love for you to take notes. Keep track. You can listen to this sermon by going back. We live stream. If you're not here on a Sunday, you can listen, but they're also recorded and they're on our internet. We have a new internet. We have a new web page. Check that out. So let's look at Mark 10, 14 to 15. Listen to this. Listen to how Jesus uses come to me. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, okay, Jesus is talking to his disciples here who are pushing children away from him. And Jesus says, permit the children to come to me. Permit the children to come to me. He's talking about the children physically coming to him. Like you would imagine them sitting in his lap and flocking. So there's this aspect of relationship. Jesus says, let the children come to me, do not hinder them. And then listen to this, this is really important. For those children that come to him physically into his presence, don't hinder them. Why? For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. To those who are willing to come to him and be in his physical proximity without the social concerns and the worries about what people would think, because at this time, Pharisees and Sadducees and scribes and zealots and Herodians were choosing sides on what they were going to think about Jesus. They were worrying about if being close to Jesus was acceptable to their social standing or not. Do children truly care about such things until we pollute their minds with it? No. It's amazing how children can make friends. It's amazing how children can cross racial and economic boundaries in ways that we don't. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it at all. Lord, teach us what that means. Okay, the next time Jesus uses comes, and by the way, that in the Synoptic Gospels, that means Matthew, Mark, and Luke, that same come to me is used in Mark 10, 14 to 15, Matthew 19, 14, and Luke 18, 16. So you see it all three times in all three Synoptics, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Okay, now let's look at Luke 6, 46 to 48. Here we see Jesus inviting again. Who is the one doing the inviting? I want you to pay. That's the question this morning. That really is the question, because if I'm inviting you or the church is inviting you, please walk out. I don't want you to be caught up in man's religion, but I want you to give everything you have to be a part of the kingdom of heaven. Luke 6, 46 to 48. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and acts on them will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid a foundation on the rock. And when a flood occurred, the torrent burst against the house and could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who has heard and has not acted accordingly is like a man who built a house on the ground without any foundation, and the torrent burst against it, and immediately it collapsed. And the ruin of that house was great. Jesus is inviting to come to him like a child. But he doesn't just ask us to make a faith decision once upon a time. He invites us to be in his yoke, which means come to him, hear his words, and act on them. To come to him and to find rest in him is to walk with him, to journey with him. Having faith in him is not about a once-upon-a-time decision, although it is important at that crossroads of our lives to make a decision to put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. What Jesus is saying will bring you rest is not a once-upon-a-time decision you've made, but an everyday walking reality of living with him. Let's look at the next one. Luke 14, 26 to 27. The Gospel of Luke. So we've seen Matthew, we've seen Mark, we're seeing Luke, all of them recording Jesus' words as saying, come to me. In the one story, all three of them, so there's a shared material there, but then you also have independent stories of one another, so you're showing each of them is recording, for their own theological reasons, their own perspective, a story of Jesus saying, come to me. As a Bible student, that's important to me, that we see that connection. Okay, Luke 14, 26 to 27, and this is huge. This is a sermon itself, so I'm just going to give you a glimpse, and I hope you will study more. Listen, this is powerful. Okay, here we go. If anyone comes to me, here it is, comes to me, right? If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross, listen, and come after me cannot be my disciples. We are going to dig into this in future studies, but there is a connection here between the taking of the yoke of Jesus and the carrying of the cross. And I'm just going to drop that, let you think about it. So we've now seen independent usages of Jesus saying, come to me, as well as a shared usage of come to me in the Synoptic Gospels. Now, what about the Gospel of John? The Gospel of John actually records Jesus saying, come to me, more than they did in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So let's look at this. This is where it gets really interesting. John chapter 5. Go to the Gospel of John with me, fourth book of the New Testament. We've done Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Now we're in John. In the new year, bring your Bibles. That's a good New Year's resolution. Mine is to smile more. Seriously, that's my New Year's resolution, to smile more. I'm practicing. Hurts. It hurts. All right. Luke 5, 39 to 40. Okay, here it is. You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. It is these that testify about me. Who's talking here? Jesus is. Verse 40. And you are unwilling to come to me so that you may have life. Good. I'm going to be doing this week because there is 8 weeks to do. John 10:10, Jesus says that he gives us abundant life. Whew. Abundant life and resting in the easy yoke, same thing. Pow. Apart from Christ, there is no life. The thief, the yoking of the world, he comes to lie, steal, and cheat, to steal, kill, and destroy, to give you all these other things to find fulfillment and identity in. Jesus comes to give you rest for your soul, and through that rest to find abundance. Okay, let's keep going. Okay, now let's look at John 6. Man, John 6 is phenomenal. Okay, in John 6, we are going to see the connections to the context of Matthew 11, 28 to 30. So if you look at the verses that come before Matthew 11, 28 to 30, you would see Matthew 25 to 27. I passed math in high school. So in 25, 26, and 27, there are some super important things that are said that I am just telling you need to check out. And as you check out Matthew 11, 25, 26, and 27, also look at that connected to these verses in Luke 6. Okay, because there's something really important there, and we'll talk about it later. But please come back, because it actually fundamentally is super important to finding rest, and you'll hear it, hopefully. Okay, here we go. John 6, verse 35. Whew. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me. Grammatical connection there. For those of you who love, you know, language, Jesus is intentionally making a connection here in this verse between those who come to him and those who believe in him. And it's not the only time he does this. Jesus was a master teacher. Did you know that Jesus is the smartest man who ever lived? Jesus is the smartest man who ever lived in every area of study that there is to be known. Okay, here it is. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. Now, verse 37. He goes on, verse 36, but I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. Verse 37, he says it twice. Nope, that's the next. In verse 37, it says it once. All that the Father gives me will, what'd that say? All that the Father gives to me, did you hear that? Okay, I'll keep going. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, he did say it twice, and the one who comes to me, I will certainly not cast out. Oh, there is rest to be found in believing that. Okay, verses 44 to 45, he says it twice here. No one, okay, so John 6, 44 to 45, this is getting exciting. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, And how does he draw them? Through the power of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit's job, according to John 16, is to convict us of sin, righteousness, and judgment. So your salvation is an act of the Trinity, of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But I will stop geeking and come back. Okay? No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be taught of God. Everyone who has heard, listen to this, please. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Oh, I find so much rest for my soul in knowing this truth. Okay, now let's look at verse 65. John 6, verse 65. John 6 is full of invitations. In verse 65, and he was saying, for this reason I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted him from the Father. I did not choose these verses. These are the verses where come to me is simply used. So I do not have a theological agenda here. I am simply doing the word studies of where the phrases come to me used in the Bible. And these are them. I want to know what the Bible says, because by believing what the Bible says, you will, and that points us to Jesus, and in Jesus, you have rest for your soul. Now, what's the final time Jesus says it? John 7, 37 to 38. Now, on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, do you hear the connection? He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. And what do you think your innermost being is? It's your soul. Do you want rest? Then it's got to flow from your innermost being. That's where rest comes from. And rest comes from believing in Jesus. Verse 39, but this he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for the Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. I want to go one layer deeper with you. I really want to go about five layers deeper. I'm just going to go one. So stay with me. We're not going to go too deep in the basement. I promise you. The Greek word translated come in Matthew 11, 28 is doute. I was just pausing to see if there's any middle schoolers in the room. Clearly not. Okay. This word is not only translated come. You ready? The Greek word doute is not only translated come, it's also translated follow. And do you know where else it's used? It's used in Mark 1:17 and Matthew 4:19 when Jesus says, follow me and I will make you become fishers of men. Okay, that is amazing, because that is the call of discipleship. That word that Jesus used to invite his disciples to follow him and the Holy Spirit promise that'll make you become fishers of men is connected to the general call to all who are weary and heavy laden. Jesus is inviting us into discipleship with himself. In the same way he invited his early disciples to walk with him and to learn from him. This is an invitation into intimate relationship with Jesus. That's what Matthew 11, 28 to 30 is. It's an invitation by Jesus personally into a close, walking, every day, every moment relationship with him. The rest for your life that you are looking for is not found in seeking after rest in and of itself. We are going to build upon that big thought over the next 2 months, but let me please tell you up front that rest for your soul will never be found in retirement or recreation alone. In fact, most research shows that those lead to more anxiety, more depression, more trying to keep up with the Joneses, more issues when they're done by themselves as the means for trying to find rest. People come back from vacation more hurried, more stressed, more anxious about work than they were before. I'm not saying retirement or recreation are bad. I'm simply saying they're not going to give you rest for your soul. What this scripture is teaching is that we'll find rest for our soul in the deeper life of imitating Jesus Christ, who restores us when we yoke with Jesus. And we're going to talk about this a lot in future weeks. When we yoke with Jesus, we are walking in a restored relationship with Jesus who redefines all of our work as divine. He restores us back to the garden command of being imagers, image bearers of God, so that everything we do, whether at school or at work or at home, in the bedroom or in the kitchen, whatever we do it, it's imaging Him to the glory of God. All of life is now in Christ. Rest is found not only when you put your faith in Jesus, but when you live your life in that Christian discipleship, in that journey language of becoming more and more like Him. Rest is when our work has meaning. Rest is when our relationships have meaning and purpose greater than our own satisfaction from them. This is when I drop little statements like, marriage is more about your holiness than your happiness. And most of you grunt, and some of you go, ah. But it's true. You'll never be more happy in your marriage when it's more about your holiness than your happiness. And you'll never be more happy in raising children when raising children is more about your holiness than your happiness. And you'll never be more satisfied with your job, no matter what your job is, when your job is more about God's glory and your sanctification than it is about the job. Because when you do everything to the glory of God with your whole heart, then you'll find rest. Jesus says in Matthew 25 to 34, and this is another time where He uses the word doute, come, you who are blessed by My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Jesus is inviting the sheep and the goats to enter into that which they chose already. And to those who chose faith in Christ and to walk with Christ, He says, come, you who are blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. The One who created you is inviting you. And the One who created you wants to redeem you back to this original design. And that's Paul's teaching in Ephesians 2:10. For we are His workmanship, creating Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. It's that journey metaphor. It's that language. It's the yoking. And I can't wait to tell you about the yoke. Come back and learn about the yoke, because the yoke determines our pace and our direction in this journey with Christ. And it gives us rest when we yoke. For this is the yoke you're being invited to. And this is the cross you're invited to carry. And both of these images are counterintuitive, because neither the image of a yoke nor the image of carrying a cross invokes rest. But most of what Jesus taught is counterintuitive. And that's why we have to intentionally every day make a choice at the crossroad moments of our days and our lives to say, Lord, I want to find my rest in you and not from my striving in the world. Because no matter how much you accomplish, and I can speak as one who's accomplished a lot in the world, no matter how many degrees you have, no matter how many awards you have in the athletic world, no matter how many, whatever it may be you want to have, you think it's going to satisfy you, it's continued to be a void that is like a sucking chest wound. And until you cover that up and you stop that vacuum, it's going to continue to pull at everything you have. And Jesus wants this morning to be the one to give you rest and to say, cease striving and know that I am God. Psalm 46:10. The Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want, because I have everything I need. Lord, let it be true. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And the rest that Jesus offers you is for your whole being. All of you, every day, in every season of life, in any job you're doing, in any relational status you're currently in, with or without your heart's desire, then you will find rest for your soul. And from your innermost being will come living water. For in the yoke of Christ, you become a conduit of blessing and of peace and of love. Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, the Messiah, the risen Christ. I believe that you are the antidote to my anxiety and my fear. I believe you are the giver of all good gifts, the provider of all needs, the protector from all evil. Please forgive me of my sin. And please unite me with the Father through the presence of your Holy Spirit. Come now, Holy Spirit of God, and work amongst us. We invite you, Holy Spirit, to come.